The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But what does this look like in real life? Join me for today's edition of Fruitful Single. Well, this interview is a little different than the normal ones because in this interview, I am the one being interviewed. You might remember I interviewed a young man named John for a previous podcast, and he actually interviews me in this podcast. The interview was recorded about a week before I was married. Yes, that's right, I got married, so I'm no longer a fruitful single, but we recorded this interview while I still was, and then stay tuned on the other side of the interview for an update on what's next.
So Dan, how did you come to know Jesus Christ?
Good question. So I grew up in a Christian home. Thankfully, my parents were really intent on making sure that I knew about Jesus and knew the gospel from a young age. What is a great blessing. And so, unfortunately for me, though, as happens sometimes to young people growing up in Christian homes, I became a Pharisee, basically trusted in my knowledge of the Bible and that I could beat all the other kids in Bible quiz, and the fact that I gave intellectual assent to the gospel, that I believed, quote-unquote, the facts of the gospel. But especially as I got in my teen years, I discovered that I didn't always enjoy or want to obey Jesus in his commands. And so there was a period of time in my teen years where I was living a double life. Outwardly, I was the clean, moral, homeschool kid. Inwardly, I was in rebellion against God, hiding secret sin, and I knew it. And I was the only person who knew it besides God, but still thinking I was a Christian because I believed the facts and knew a lot of things about the Bible. So then didn't stay that way, thankfully. When I was 18, the weight of scripture accumulating in my conscience just grew too heavy for me to convince myself any longer that I was truly a Christian, and truly understood then that being a Christian involves not just believing facts, but a yielding of control, a yielding of ownership, or accepting or yielding to the sovereignty of Christ over me. And he's been very patient with me even since my conversion. Just I had a lot of fear of man and things like that, that was very timid for many years in doing anything for the Lord. So he's been really patient even since then.
So where are you from? Where are you now? And what led you here?
So I'm from Arizona in the United States. And I moved to this part of the world. Now I live in the Middle East, and I came here about a year and 3 months ago because opportunities for meeting people from a lot of different people groups are greater here than where I lived before. And in the U.S., relatively speaking, there are plenty of Christians, plenty of churches, relatively easy to hear the gospel, whereas here there's people all around us who have not heard the gospel and maybe don't have somebody in their circles that knows the gospel.
Okay, so maybe there's a listener here who sees this and he or she would be like, oh, I could never do what Daniel's doing. How would you challenge those who've gotten comfortable with their lives, with their work, with their place of stay? What would you say to them to rethink their stance?
I mean, it certainly doesn't have to be doing exactly the same things that I've done, but the main thing to challenge you with is just to think about in your own experience and in your understanding of the scripture, do you find that you experience Christ's presence with you more when you're comfortable or when you're doing something that's new or strange or difficult to you? And if you're like me, you find that when everything is just kind of, you can handle it, you already have been through this and things are kind of routine, that your experience of the freshness of your walk with Christ is kind of diminished. But when you're stretched and when you're out of your comfort zone, then the Lord, it becomes very real and very precious to you. And once you've tasted that, nothing can ever satisfy you again. And so it doesn't have to be moving to another part of the world, but it might be, and you need to at least be willing to do that if that's what God wants you. But the thing that we should all seek for, no matter whether you're single or married or where you're from, is just to pursue serving Christ in ways that are foreign to you or different to you, so that you have to depend on him and you can't just depend on your own experience and resources.
So how do you redeem your time now? What would a typical week look like for you to make your singleness fruitful?
There are so many opportunities around us here, but just meeting up with new people at church. There are people that start visiting church and that are kind of trying to figure things out, offer to read through a book of the Bible with them, or through a book about some aspect of the gospel or something with them. It's something that's really just very simple, very, very meaningful. Looking for people that are suffering around you in the church, especially brothers and sisters, trying to help carry them. This is something especially I think that's easy for us as single people because our schedules are very flexible. My favorite story that happened to me here was last year. A young guy in our church needed a place to spend the night so that he could go take a driving test early in the morning. And I just had a single bed, but he wound up spending the night with me in my single bed. Praise the Lord. And I happened to have transportation that morning, so I was able to take him to his appointment. And, you know, if I'd been married, that wouldn't have happened, you know. So it's nice being, and just even as a single person, trying to find ways to offer hospitality and invite people for a simple meal at your home. Even if you're not good at cooking, it's not the quality of the meal, it's more the quality of the conversation that happens. And you can, if you really can't cook anything, you can go to a restaurant, you know, or do tea or something like that as well. This podcast would be another thing. I just was trying to think of ways to encourage single people to use their singleness and the freedoms that we have as single people for the Lord, and not just to waste it on you know, selfish lifestyles. And so I had never done a podcast before, and just let's see if I can figure this out. And it's been fun. I've got to meet a lot of really interesting people by doing this. So look for opportunities to serve your church. One of the best pieces of advice my pastor in the U.S. gave me was, if you're going to be single, try to exhaust yourself for the church. And that was a good piece of advice.
Which brings me to my next question. Men, often more than women, find it hard and struggle to get close with other men in sharing encouragements and sharing mutual struggles. How would you advise to them from your experience?
What I've seen work for that is just if you just have one other person that you can share with, one other guy that you can share with, meet weekly to talk and share, and then invite somebody else that maybe is more shy to come along and just watch what you do. And what I've found is that openness, accountability, mutual encouragement is contagious, and if other Christian men, if they're truly born again, when they see it, they want it, and they start opening up almost immediately if they can see it modeled for them.
So what book has impacted your life the most? It could be one or two.
Yeah. That's a hard one to select. Biographies have been really helpful. So my favorite biography is a two-volume biography of Hudson Taylor by his son and daughter-in-law. It's fantastic. It's just pure gold. John Payton's biography is really, autobiography is really good. David Brainerd, his journal and testimony of what God did through him is really powerful. As far as non-biographical, John Piper's Don't Waste Your Life, really helpful. Desiring God, When I Don't Desire God, The Pleasures of God, and Future Grace. All five of those were really helpful to me in major ways.
What are you looking before, like 5, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Were you looking to get married, and why this particularly that time, and what changed?
Why didn't I get married sooner? I'm 44 now. A couple factors. I was shy, like I've mentioned before. Because of my mother's health, my parents' marriage was just, there was a lot of suffering involved in it. And I saw what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, such will have trouble in this life, is really true. And so that kind of was scary to me in a way, like taking on that kind of responsibility, the kind of things that can happen in a marriage that it may be really difficult just physically. And as well as a genuine desire to use the freedoms of singleness to serve the Lord. So then, like, what changed my mind with this particular woman? Why did I decide, you know, maybe I should be married to her? So the two questions that I would always use in the past to consider a potential woman would be, would she serve God better with me, and would I serve God better with her? And in the past, the answer was always no to at least one of those. But with Jerry Lynn, as I got to know her, I began to realize, I think that we could actually both serve God together better than we can singly.
Would you say what you had was the gift of singleness?
This is a really great question, and maybe I'll get more clarity on it after a few more years of being able to process it. But I thought that I had the gift of singleness, and like you said, maybe I did for that time. I've believed this all along, that making a vow of celibacy, like that I'm never going to get married for the rest of my life, that's a bad idea, that actually increases temptation. So I've never recommended that. In one sense, whatever your state is, whether you're married or single, you should view it as a gift from God and try to use it for His maximum glory, no matter whether you're married or single. One of Satan's traps for us is to try to get us to think that we would be happier in the other state. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me years ago that counseling is 10% single people that want to be married and 90% married people that want to be single. And this is Satan's trap for us, right? Yeah. Welcome to the 90%. Yeah, yeah.
What advice would you give to unmarried Christian men and women that are listening to this podcast?
Enjoy the freedoms that you have now and use those freedoms as much as you can to serve God. And you will have great joy in doing that. And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And if all these things for you involves a spouse, God will bring it. I think it's just kind of humorous. Not that it has to always be this way, but to me it's humorous that here I wasn't even looking, and God just brings me like this perfect woman, just like drops her right. And some people, you know, work really hard, and go through all kinds of difficulty trying to find the right person, and here it is just like plop right in front of me, like, whoa. I didn't have to do anything. So I think it's just God's sense of humor and kindness, knowing that I probably wouldn't have navigated all the more difficult methods very well, and just being faithful to, like, I was trying to serve Him, and he's been very kind to me. It almost reminds me in some ways of David, where he wanted to build a house for God and said, no, I'm going to build a house for you. And God has been kind to me in that.
So, Daniel, will you pray for the listeners of this podcast?
Father, we thank you for the seasons of our lives that you give us, and thank you for your faithfulness to us throughout the different changes in our lives and the different pressures and temptations that come during those times. Help my brothers who are listening to use the season of life that they're in right now to serve you and to trust that you are good, and that even though they may not understand where the path that they are on will take them, that they will trust you as a good father, that they will serve you to the fullest of their ability, that they'll find great joy in serving your people and in sharing about you with the lost around them, that they will take risks for the gospel and use the flexibilities and freedoms of singleness to maximum advantage while they can, and trust that at the right time, if you have a spouse for them, that you'll bring that moment to them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now you're probably all wondering what's going to happen to this podcast since I'm no longer a fruitful single. My wife and I both still have a great heart for seeing unmarried Christians use their singleness and the flexibility and freedom that it offers for the Lord's kingdom. So we hope to continue this podcast. I have a couple more people in mind already that I want to interview. I have another interview already recorded that I just need to finish editing. And if you know a fruitful single, I can tell you how to use your phone to record an interview with them, and then you can submit that interview to me for possible inclusion on the podcast. I can take care of all the editing and stuff. If you record the interview, I'd be happy to receive your submissions and see if it might be a good fit for this podcast as well. So we do hope to continue releasing more interviews for this podcast in the future. If you have any ideas or want to talk more about this interview or what it would take for you to send your own interview in, just contact me, daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. Until next time, may Jesus bless you with fruitfulness, and remember, don't waste your singleness, because the Lamb's wedding is coming soon.